We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me right now, a guy who was in the press box. He was working the TV booth. Did a hell of a job as always. And that, of course, is our guy, Carl Banks. Carl, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing great, Evan. How are you?
Where are you right now? You're somewhere.
Yeah, I am always somewhere. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada today.
Can I ask you this? Do you ever get sick of flying? Because I hate flying. You ever get sick
of it? No, actually I don't. I'm a pretty good flyer. I sleep very well on planes. So it's probably the most sleep I get is when I get on a plane anyway.
Can you read on a plane or does that give you a headache?
No, I can read. It actually, reading helps me sleep too. I get a lot of books read flying. So.
All right, listen, you do it right. Every time I go on a plane now, I get sick. I just want to throw up. It's awful. But you got to do a lot of flying, so thank God you're able to do it well.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because the Jets had a joint workout with the Washington Redskins, and it turned into a free-for-all. The Giants are actually flying up to Michigan, your old place, and they're going to have a joint workout with the Lions. Are these joint workouts good? Because it seems like more times than not, it ends up with fights. And this happens and that happens. Do you think these joint workouts in the preseason are a good thing in your mind?
I do. I think eventually, this my hope anyway, is that they replace preseason football.
Interesting.
Because what happens is about after the first week of training camp, Evan, everybody's seen everything from their teammates. So you're really not getting the level of competition leading up to the preseason game. And then you find out where your benchmarks are after that preseason game, whereas you're going against, even if it's for a week, a different level of competition. There's a lack of familiarity with the guys that you're going against. You don't know consistently what they do. So it helps each team get their players better, number one, and it also will allow coaches to evaluate just how far along those guys are. And I'll give you a case in point, and this is by no means am I picking on him, but if you look at a guy like Davis Webb, who didn't have a great day in the preseason game, well, he was having great practices. You heard it all the time. Well, you know, he kind of knew what he was going against, right? So if you put him in a situation and he's got Darius Slay and a few other guys out there, and you know, you got Odell Beckham's timing is a little different when he's going against a different level of competition, then you've got to make certain throws a little differently. And I think that is part and parcel, aside from I think the kid had a lot of nerves in that game. But if you can get that level of competition in practice against someone else, it helps. And I think it's a better way of getting your teams ready for the preseason than it is actually just preseason. I mean, for the regular season, than it is just having preseason games.
Well, and you know, the problem is, and you know this, they'll never get rid of preseason games because they need to price gouge their fans and force them to pay all this money to go to a game that most people waste tickets on. I mean, all you have to do is look at MetLife Stadium for the Jets game and the Giants game. I mean, most of the stadium's empty because people don't want to waste their time on a hot summer night going to a game that doesn't count.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. But, I mean, from a pure football operation standpoint, I would much prefer going against another team. And, you know, the Patriots have done it for years.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, they're not the only ones that have done it. But to be honest with you, it also gives your scouting department an opportunity to see some players, too, that may get cut, or see some guys that maybe they were eyeing in a draft or a draft past that may be coming up as free agents, and you'll have an opportunity to kind of look and see what those work habits are as well. So I think there are a lot of benefits to it. Obviously, when things get chippy, it's where it gets out of control. And I saw the melee that the Jets have, and there's always one every year.
Yeah.
There's one group of scrimmages that just gets out of control. But you know, coaches can take care of that. They've got to let their guys know. Listen, we're here to help each other. We're going to help their team. They're going to help us. Let's not get into this nonsense.
Yeah, and there's fights between teammates. We see that all the time. We saw it with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sure.
We've seen it with the Jets and Giants. So that kind of stuff happens. Looking at this game, because I was just excited to watch football. So I'm watching you and Bob Pop, and I watched almost the entire game. You're at least paid to do it. I missed football. And to me, it's tough because I can't judge this starting offensive line. These guys need time to work together.
I thought
it was cool that Saquon Barkley right out of the gate has the 39-yard run. Just starting with the starting unit, is there anything you took out of those first two drives with Eli and the starting offensive line out there and Barkley getting some touches and Flowers now on the right side of the line? Is there anything you were able to take offensively out of those first two drives?
Well, it all starts up front, and I think – They had some good signs in the run game. I think when you look at Flowers and that group, they moved the offensive line, and that's something they can build on. But they still have to gel, and it's been a vanilla. And that's the beautiful part, and this is what fans don't realize. The beautiful part about preseason is they don't game plan. So it's all about fundamentals. And you get a chance to see, because they don't give you a lot to work with, and you don't know what the other team is doing. So it's basic blocking and tackling for the most part, especially up front. They don't combo block because they don't want their opponents to see all the stuff that they're practicing for the season. So they'll say, okay, let's line up and let's block the guy in front of us.
Right.
And they did that for the most part. So, I mean, if you look at how they are approaching the game, they look more physical up front. How that translates into regular season when teams start to game plan them and try to expose certain weaknesses in players. But right now, the most improved area that I saw is the physicality up front.
We're talking to Carl Banks about the Giants. They opened up their preseason against the Cleveland Browns. Any concern defensively? I mean, they obviously need to find a third corner, probably on this roster, but maybe not. There's still a battle for the other starting safety spot. But we saw a couple of familiar things, specifically tight ends having success against their defense, as Njoku got in the end zone twice in this game.
Well, the one Njoku play, I think, will definitely be corrected. It was a blitz,
yeah,
and they had man-to-man coverage. The Alec Ogletree was still in the box. And when they're blitzing off the edge and the inside linebacker has that coverage, he's just going to have to cheat it so that he could get to his guy. That was pitch and catch. That was too easy.
Mm.
And they'll adjust that. There's so many adjustments they can do in terms of, you know, formation versus blitzes. And that's another thing, too. They didn't want to show what that adjustment would be versus that formation, because there's no way they're going to bring a blitzer off the edge and ask a linebacker to take a guy who's lined up outside of the tight end position. He was kind of flexed off, so they would definitely make an adjustment to that, but they don't want to show that type of stuff. So that one I think is easily corrected, because they'd probably switch the blitz off and have the outside guy cover anyway. But the other stuff, yeah, they've got to sharpen up in the defensive backfield. They've got to find a third corner. Well, one has to emerge consistently. But, you know, there's work to be done, Evan. It's, you know, they're 3-13 for a reason. But with healthy bodies and they get the right mix of players in there, I think they will improve. But I'm not going to sit here and paint a rosy picture after the first preseason game.
No, I mean, you can't do either. I mean, you can't even paint the rosy picture. You can't paint the doom picture, because it's just one preseason game. There's so much that can happen between now and then. Because you touched on something that I think probably, I don't say probably, but there's a decent chance happens with this roster. How when you have these joint practices, you're getting a look at other players that may be released. A lot of guys are going to be released. There's just a lot of guys that aren't going to make the 53.
Sure.
So there's a good chance that hole they're looking to fill in the secondary may come from a guy that's not on this roster. There's been talk of the Patriots getting rid of McCourty. I mean, who knows? He could be a Giant in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So there's going to be some opportunities. And the other thing is the Giants are second in line when the players hit the waiver wire. So if somebody's cut, they have the second choice of any guy that's cut. So I think, I don't know if it's Cleveland is first, but I know the Giants are, the Giants have second pick on the waiver wire. So it's still early. And even if they do find that guy for opening day, it still could change as the season goes along. So there's time. But, you know, in terms of looking at players and what can you see from them, you see Barkley, there are a few good things and a couple bad things. I think he realized that sometimes you got to take what's given to you because you can't just jet to the outside without setting it up.
Right.
There were a couple times he bounced out and found out that, well, guys in the pros are pretty fast getting out there to string you out to the sideline. And then there was the 139-yard run where he set everything up. I mean, he was patient in the hole, and he, you know, the jump cut that got him back vertical was just, you know, just a beautiful thing. And that's something you look at and you say, okay, that's a pro move. That's something that will be good for him every time he plays. And then on the other side of the football, you know, I could not help but to look at the quarterback, the young quarterback that they had, and I tell you,
he was good,
you know, for Baker Mayfield, for everything that they said negative about the kid, the mechanics were there. And again, he didn't go against, you know, a game plan defense.
Right.
But the things that will serve him well, he did well. Going through his progressions, climbing in the pocket, moving to throw downfield, not just to run the football. And when you look at those things in a young player, you say, okay, these are the things that we need from him to start with. Because once you start to have to try to teach a guy not to lock in on one receiver, then that makes your coaching hard and the progressiveness of the player, it gets slowed down. So this kid has shown a lot of different things that will serve him well as he matures as a quarterback. And I think the same thing with the quarterback of the Jets. You saw similar qualities there, climbing the pocket. He threw a couple off his back foot, but, you know, he'll change that too. But just his ability to read from, you know, to read his progressions from one receiver to the next, move around in the pocket, find an open guy. You know, a year ago, if these kids were coming out, you'd say, oh, he broke the pocket after it broke down and he took off running. And you see that a little bit. You can see the difference between what you have in Darnold and what Baker Mayfield is and what Jackson is in Baltimore. Jackson does not have the same mechanics as these kids. Now, he has some other skill sets, but when you look at how he goes through his progressions, it's nowhere close to what I saw with Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Now, this is, again, the first preseason game.
Right.
Maybe it gets better, but these kids came in with that in their toolbox.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Baker Mayfield was very impressive. And the same with Darnold in that they're not facing the first-team defense and not facing game plans, like you said. But still, you saw signs from both of these guys on why they were drafted where they were.
Right. The mechanics are there. They came in with a toolbox. And look, and then again, the Tyrod Taylor did a good job for them
too.
They didn't draft Mayfield to sit him on the bench forever. So let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, eventually it's going to be Baker's job. It's just a matter of when. That's all it is. And Tyrod Taylor knows that, and he's better than that. He probably deserves to be a starting quarterback in this league. But you know what you're signing up for when you're in a situation like that. What did you think? We're talking to Carl Banks. Because this came out the other day that Antonio Callaway, the rookie fourth rounder who's had off the field trouble, he got pulled over, there was marijuana in his car, pieces for a gun, whatnot, that this coach decided that the way he was going to penalize him was to play him a lot in a preseason game. That almost seems backwards. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, it is totally backwards, because when you listen to what he said, I made him play.
Right.
As if the kid didn't want to play. Like, you just did him a favor. And here's the danger. And I think it's safe to say he worked for Marvin, the Cleveland coach, is on the hot seat. Because, number one, he's got a culture there that he cannot afford to have any of these type of players there when they're trying to repatriate Josh Gordon into their system. You know, he's trying to get his life back together. Do you want another one of those guys to be a distraction for him?
No.
I think that's part of the problem. Because they went out and got good players for this team. And I believe if this coach doesn't show something, they'll get rid of him in the middle of the season.
Well, the thing about Coach Jackson is that...
Hugh Jackson, I'm sorry.
It's okay. They have won one game in 2 years.
You know what
I mean? I mean, I understand they're bad. We get it, they're bad. One game in 2 years, Carl? And I just, maybe I'm reading too much into this, and you have more than a right to say, Evan, calm down. You're just thirsty for football that you're saying this. How about the fact that on offense and defense to start this game, two guys are called for taunting penalties right out of the gate?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a guy on defense, Denzel Ward, taunting penalty, three plays in, hands the Giants a first down. Jarvis Landry, who should know better, as a guy who's actually been around, he gets called for a taunting penalty. Then the idea of this suspension of, I'm going to force this guy to play. I don't know. There's all these signs are there besides the record that Hugh Jackson's not the answer here.
Well, again, I think it's going to be a short leash because they are now putting personnel in place, and he may not be the guy that sees this thing through because, again, it's a culture thing. He's got to show some type of change in how he approaches things, and it doesn't seem to be that way. I mean, again, you get a guy who was – suspect coming out with his positive test, and then you would think, hey, I'm going to be very careful. I get a new lease on life, and the next thing you know, he's caught with marijuana in his car, and what does the coach do? Quote, unquote, makes him play. No, you don't make him play. You look at Josh Gordon, a guy that they're really putting a lot of resources behind to help him get his life back together and resume a playing football career. And I don't know why they're keeping him out other than maybe he's not ready for the time
right.
That they have in training camp. But you want to put another guy in the locker room with him? You're trying to set an environment that's conducive to his return to football so that he could be a major contributor. And then you got this guy, you got to make play.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird thing. It wasn't as much in the Giant game, and I don't know how much you've seen of some of these other preseason games or at least the clips of some of these calls, but this new helmet rule call is going to be a major problem. I mean, we've already seen it in a few of these games.
It is. It is. And I think what's going to end up happening, they're going to have to kind of quietly modify it. And I'm not opposed to it, but we all know what the bad hits are. And I think they've overcorrected on purpose. And I think they will go back and look at some of this stuff. That's what the preseason is for the referees, too. They'll look at it and say, okay, now we know where the egregious ones are, and these are ones that we'll consider just football plays, because a lot of those were football plays that were called. I think this won't be as big a lightning rod as it is right now. They're still going to have some bad calls on it. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as it is right now. And they've got and the thing about it, the rules are so ambiguous that you can't point to anything. It's kind of like, well, this is what the rule says. If they would specify how, you know, if you're spearing with the crown of the head and stuff like that, which that rule is in place and everybody stopped doing it, this other deal that they have now is just, I think it's all over the place.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. Hopefully.
But you know what? The other thing, though, the whole taunting thing, it's kind of an NCAA rule because you hear officials saying if he does it again, he's getting ejected.
Right.
I'm not opposed to a little trash talk.
Let me
just say that. It's competitive sports.
I'm not
opposed to that. I don't think, you know, you need to throw a kid out of the game if he's talking trash. Now, if he's in somebody's face and pointing and inciting some type of physicality after a play, that's one thing. But just trash talking a little bit is not that bad.
I agree with you.
I give him a warning first.
Yeah, I mean, because you're right. Not only is it a significant penalty, which it is,
yeah,
but you do it twice, you're out of the game. I mean, that's incredibly significant. I think college is one thing, because I understand there's still a student athlete. Maybe there's a little decorum difference. With these professional athletes, I don't mind the fire. I mean, within reason.
Well, you know what? You got to have some element of intimidation. You know, you got to have a little trash talk. You got to be able to get into your guy's head a little bit. So I think the penalty is a bit much. I think you give him a warning and you say the next one will be a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
You know, but I wouldn't say, okay, here's a flag, penalty, next one you're thrown out of the game. I don't know if that makes the game better. Actually, it makes it worse. And I don't know if it deters anything. It makes the game, and I'm going to use this term only in this sense, not in terms of hitting, but it makes the game soft.
No, I got it.
That makes the game soft. You know, you can't, you got to have, it's a physical game, you know, and people hit each other. So having a little bit of trash talk is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm with you. Carl, always a pleasure. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ab.
Enjoy Vegas. Carl
right.
Banks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.